little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe it not? Oh, yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on with the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back.
It's Friday. It's the Field House, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
All right, everybody. Happy Friday. We are definitely in the zone, live from the Field House on Copper in Fresno. I am George Takata. Nick Anderson doesn't do the show with me anymore, but I hope he's having happy holiday season, just like you. Big show ahead. Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports NBA writer extraordinaire, will join us. Talk all things Lakers. What a great game last night, Lakers and the Kings. We'll talk about LeBron. We'll talk about maybe some trade rumors, things going on. Cameron Worrell, he'll be in the house a little bit later to discuss the departures, the early departures of Jeff Allison and Mike Bell to the NFL draft. Huge blow to that Fresno State defense, which was exceptional. Find out from Cam if he thinks the Bulldogs have the depth it takes to continue defensive dominance in 2019. And then Scott Kazmar will join us. Scott was on my programs in the past. He's from Football Outsiders. He's the assistant editor. We'll talk all things NFL with him. So three great guests, 2 hours. Fieldhouse is a great place to watch sports. We've got all sorts of stuff going on. Bowl games are on. Warriors replay, unfortunately, for Warriors fans is on. Come on out and get the 940. It's a strawberry whiskey sour. It's only $5 plus great food and just a fantastic atmosphere. Get your weekend started out here. All right. Starting off with Fresno State talking to the Raiders. Saw that report. GV Wire had it. I think it was David Taub that did that story, on how Fresno State and the Raiders had some introductory, preliminary discussions about the Raiders coming to play at Bulldog Stadium in 2019. Raiders do not have a home picked out next year. Do not know where they're going to play. We've heard the talks, as we discussed, I think, last week, about them going possibly to AT&T Park for a season, home of the Giants. We've heard San Diego, but I've also heard that that's off the table because the NFL will not allow the Raiders to play there. I don't understand why, but not to go to a stadium that's NFL-ready, that's vacant, except for San Diego State games. I don't know what that stadium is being used for right now. It's available in my eyes, but I guess not in the NFL's eyes. And so I put out a tweet since the NFL... Since the Raiders and the Bulldogs in Fresno State are not, the Raiders don't sound to be, it's like a thanks but no thanks, I think, type of a discussion that they had. Don't know how quick it was or who the, you know, what the discussions, the details of those discussions, but it sounds like the Raiders are more of like, hey, we appreciate it, thank you, but we're going to look for somewhere else to play. Maybe in the Bay Area for another year, which would be nice. But I put out on Twitter that, you know, if they're going to play regular season games in Mexico City and who knows where else, just take the preseason on the road. Take the preseason to Bulldog Stadium. Play a preseason game in Fresno. I know it's going to be really, really hot, but if you're going to play at AT&T Park, possibly, the Giants will still be in their season. You wouldn't have to use their field during part of their baseball season in the preseason. So you escape playing on dirt. You know, in the NBA, preseason games are all over the place. There's been preseason games in Fresno before. Some teams play half their preseason or a couple of their preseason games in cities that don't have NBA teams. So why don't the Raiders do that? You come to Fresno for the preseason. You know, 4 preseason games, 2 at home, 2 on the road. Just put those 2 in Bulldog Stadium. Let Derek Carr enjoy Bulldog Stadium as a player a couple more times for a series or 2, maybe. maybe those discussions need to be had. I think it's a good idea. It would still be packed. It still wouldn't interrupt Fresno State season because those preseason games are on Sundays, or the last preseason game, which is on Thursdays, wouldn't interrupt the Bulldogs at all. Wouldn't have to change out really anything. The field would look the same because it's just the preseason. They wouldn't. The Raiders wouldn't have to play on dirt. It wouldn't be grass, but it would be at least a football surface. Re-engage those talks, Fresno State, with the Raiders and say, hey, well, let's do the preseason instead. At least one game. I know it's just the preseason, but as a Raider fan, I'm always interested in seeing, you know, who's coming up or who's got a chance to make the team, whatever. So it'd be a great opportunity to see the silver and black in up close and personal in Fresno. And Derek Carr, play a series. You know, if the Raiders, I think the Raiders would host the fourth preseason game because they were on the road. I don't know if it's home and away, back and forth, whatever. But if the Raiders play their fourth preseason game at home, then the first units don't play at all. So you got to hope that Derek Carr would play at Bulldog Stadium with the Raiders first, second, or third playoff game, because the fourth one, the starters don't play. That's a talent show for the guys who are trying to make the team. But regular season, it's a nice idea. I love the idea. But really, preseason is probably a lot more realistic. Play a preseason at Bulldog Stadium. That way, if you play at AT&T Park, you don't interrupt the Giants season too much, at least in August. Early September, whenever the preseason ends, you at least avoid playing on dirt a couple times. Let's start a petition. Let's start a movement. Let's get it done. Unfortunately, I heard Tony Diodato talk about this on his show. You know, the Boise State-Boston College bowl game cut short because of lightning. And I am in total agreement with those two, with Tony and Christopher Gabriel, about, you know, wait it out, play it the next day. You got your money from your sponsorships and the TV check is in the mail, so to speak. You just rip off the seniors, especially. The fans who traveled to Dallas. I checked the forecast. The next day, the weather was partly cloudy or partly sunny, depending on your optimism level. They could have played that game the next day. Would it have been on TV? No. Could it have been on ESPN3? Yeah. It's just, you know, as much as I dislike Boise State, I felt bad for their seniors. And Boston College's seniors, obviously, as well. I think the decision was a little rushed, no matter what they say. You could have waited out a few hours. Definitely you could have played it the next day. And if it wasn't going to be on TV, they would have played it anyway. You know, it just, yes, we want to play our last game. We don't want to just play half of a quarter and go home after being there for all the pomp and circumstance that goes with bowl game week, you know, and enjoying the pre-bowl festivities and getting amped for a game. And I'm in the I don't know if it's the majority or minority about there's too many bowl games. There are too many bowl games. There's just too many. This ServPro First Responder Bowl, will it even make it to next year because of this, because of their decision? Well, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. The NC2A would kind of lean in on that one a little bit and say, you know, it's a really bad idea to not play that game. Maybe we just don't do this altogether. You know, go play it in Jerry World. You know, you could have played it the next day. It, as much as I don't like Boise, really is too bad. And Boston College, that their seniors didn't get a chance to play. And the stadium was practically empty. I get it, whatever. But you make that trip from Boise to Dallas, from Boston College, the East Coast to Dallas. It's a long flight. Those are long trips. You're spending Christmas in Texas because the bowl game was the next day. You ruined everything by making that decision to not play. Now, the game that you wish that wasn't played was TCU and Cal and that Cheez-It Bowl. Oh, my gosh. Every time I woke up from it, I saw someone get picked off. What happened? Oh, interception. There were 9 interceptions in the game. 9 interceptions. 4 by Grayson Muhlstein. 3 by Chase Garbers. 2 by Chase Forrest. I have never seen anything like that before. How about Grayson Muhlstein, 7 of 20 for 27 yards, no touchdowns, 4 interceptions. TCU still won the game 10-7 in, oh my God, in overtime. Between a 7 and 2 teams that are now 7 and 6. That is the perfect example of too many bowl games. Way too many bowl games. Wow, that was bad. That was horrible. That right there, combined with the Boise State-Boston College cancellation, was the worst day in bowl game history. Worst day. Worst day. And it was, the headline is TCU beats Cal 10-7 in overtime of a wild Cheez-It Bowl. It was only wild because there were 9 picks. I couldn't believe all the ineptitude going on the field by the quarterbacks. And the kicker who kicked the field goal was replaced. It's just crazy. That Cheez-It Bowl was bad. It made me lose my appetite for Cheez-Its. It really did. It was 9 interceptions. I've never seen anything like that before. In a bowl game. In any game. Hey, Tim DeRuiter's guys can pick the ball off. We can say that. TCU swapped kickers after Cal called the timeout at the end of regulation to miss. And then the Horned Frogs said, hey, we'll go back to our original kicker, Jonathan Song. 27 yards in overtime, and mercifully that thing is over. 10-7. You have a 10-7, 9 interception, overtime, Cheez-It Bowl, and a half of a quarter first responder bowl. Thank God for the Vegas Bowl. All right, we got to take a break. Chris Haynes will join me in about 15 minutes. Talk NBA, talk LeBron, Lakers, the Warriors. Are they in trouble? Is Denver really the best team in the West? What about the Clippers? How about the resurgent Kings? That in 15 minutes. Talk more NFL as well. We are live at the Fieldhouse in Fresno. Great crowd here on a Friday night. Coming out and be part of it on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back to the zone, everybody. Live from the Fieldhouse. Starting to fill up a little bit. Chris Haynes joining me here very soon. Supposed to join me at the top of the hour, but had something to take care of, and it's been taken care of earlier than expected, so we'll have him on any minute now. Talk all things NBA. Chris, Fresno native, and has just climbed up the media ladder in regards to covering the NBA. Man, he's one of the best national NBA columnists in the country, which means the world. Unbelievable. So proud of that guy. So we'll talk about the Lakers. You know, Rajon Rondo's out 4 to 5 weeks now. You know, what's going on with the Warriors? You know, LeBron and the Lakers. You know, LeBron's going to be out a little bit longer than expected with that groin. So what happens when you get a little older, man? You're going to be out a little late. LeBron's 34, not 24. You're going to be out a little longer these days when you get hurt. It's kind of like Kobe with that Achilles, man. He was out You know, that'll take care of you for a long time. The recovery period when you get older takes a little longer. So Chris will join me to talk about all that. He did a little one-on-one with Kevin Durant. The guy gets all the interviews. He covered the Cavaliers exclusively for Fox Sports Ohio and established a great relationship with LeBron, then moved on from there and started covering the Warriors and has great relationships with all those guys and the Splash Brothers and whatnot. So we'll try to get a feel of what he thinks about what might happen at the trade deadline. And going to be a lot of movement, I think. I think that the Lakers may try to get a piece to make a stronger playoff push to get a little higher seeding. They might have to get another player that will help LeBron maybe get a little more rest these days. You don't mess around with the groin injury when you're 34. You don't mess around with that. And with that, let's bring up Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports, best NBA writer in the biz. How you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, my guy. Thanks for having me on, man.
Man, I really do appreciate it. Start things off with LeBron and the Lakers. It's going to be out a little bit longer than expected with that groin. What's the timetable, you think?
You know, I honestly reported the Lakers expected him to miss at least a few games. And so I'm holding to that. Knowing LeBron, like, it's going to be real difficult for the Lakers to hold him out for a significant amount of time. If I had to guesstimate, make up a word, I'm probably looking at the ballpark around five games. LeBron James has never really had a significant injury. The year I covered him back in 14-15, that was the most time he's ever missed. He was out with back spasms. You know, he had some back injuries, and he was out for about 2 weeks. And so that's the most he's ever missed in the NBA season. So I think, you know, he's Superman. He'll be back, you know, probably in a sooner time than the Lakers organization expected. So it's really not anything serious. They dodged the bullet for real.
Well, could this be, you know, he is 34. He's played a lot of basketball. Could this be the start of maybe sit out a little longer than you want to? You get a little older. The Lakers kind of need you for the playoff push. The regular season probably going to take care of itself. There's no doubt they're going to get in. But do you try to talk to him or Magic Johnson, Luke Walton, hey, we're going to rest you a little bit more than you maybe even want to because, you know, we don't want you to get hurt again, that type of thing?
No, they will be doing that throughout the process. You can believe that. You know, LeBron James will be itching. And look, I was told that he tried to get back in the game against Golden State. And he was kind of talked out of it. And so, he's going to be itching throughout this process and try to get out there as soon as possible. He loves the game. He hates missing these bouts. And when he feels he's healthy, he's going to try to get out there. Now, the Lakers are going to have to say, look, even though you're healthy, we want to make sure we're taking an extra precautionary measures to make sure that you're, you know, close to 100% as possible. That, you know, we can't risk this at all. And, you know, the age is a factor. But like I said, for LeBron James, man, that's going to be a tough task to try to convince him to sit out games in which he knows he can go out there and be effective. So that's going to be interesting to keep an eye out for.
Well, with Rajon Rondo had surgery today to repair a ligament in his right ring finger, he's going to miss about a month, maybe a month and a week or so. But with the way Lonzo Ball played last night against the Kings, I think that they'll be fine without Rondo. It's nice to have him, but the improved play of Lonzo Ball has really impressed me. How about you?
Yeah, well, look, I want to see some consistency, and it was definitely, you know, that he definitely, his eyes were a little bit wider with that matchup going against De'Aaron Fox, who's had a breakout season this year. There's been a lot of criticism of the Lakers missed out, you know, that they should have took De'Aaron over Lonzo. And so, you know, Lonzo stepped up to the challenge. He elevated his game for that bout. Now it's, can he do this on a consistent basis? Can he continue to hit those threes like he did last night? And so that's something, you know, that we got to continue to monitor. I'm not sold on Lonzo yet. You know, I think he's a nice product, but I need to see some sustainability, you know, at a high level. But he definitely played well. He's going to have every opportunity to showcase that, you know, he should be the feature point guard of the team, you know, moving forward and into the future with Rondo and LeBron James being out. Those are two of the primary ball handlers on the squad. So, so far, so good.
Now, before we get to the Warriors, can you give me a little Kings love? Last night was a lot of fun, and I know I've got my friends in my face. No LeBron, no Rondo, no JaVale McGee, and you only won by a point at the buzzer. But really, the Sacramento Kings, what, 19 and 16 now, have really turned the corner, got a really fun young team to watch, don't you think?
No, they're doing a really good job, and I think they're just accelerating this development process a little bit quicker than anybody expected. You know, I think the pieces they put together have blended well. You look at the emerging talent of Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein, man. They're having some real solid years, man. And, you know, De'Aaron being able to have the keys to the team, and he's showing what he can do. And I gotta put this plug out there, George. My podcast that dropped last week, posted up with Chris Haynes.
Yeah.
You know, I had De'Aaron Fox. You know, we'll drop that, I think, in about a week. And he was wonderful, man. He's a candid, open guy, man. He's funny. You know, I think people are going to enjoy him, and I think he's going to end up being a breakout star in this league. So, now the Kings right now, man, you know, you got to give Dave Yeager, you got to say he's up there. If you're talking early coach of the year candidates, man, he's doing an unbelievable job.
You know what I liked about Fox? I love his game. As a Kings fan, you know, who doesn't? But last night, his interview, I fell in love with the dude. He said, you know, great atmosphere. Too many bleeping Lakers fans in here, though.
Yeah,
love it. Keep it real, right?
he's keeping real, and you don't see that too often from second year players. And I don't know if you saw the soundbite, but we dropped a snippet about a week ago where when I was interviewing for my podcast, you know, he said that he's the fastest guy in the league. You know,
right.
And I started mentioning. I'm like, well, hold on, Russell Westbrook. Hold on, John Wall. He's like, no. I'm the fastest guy in the league, you know. And so just to hear a second-year player come out and be that adamant about his own skill set, you know, it's refreshing. You don't hear that too often. So there's a lot more where that comes from when you drop the pod on him. But, he's a real good kid, man. I think he's going to be a dominant force for years.
Looking forward to listening to your podcast for sure. All right, now Warriors. Look, Klay Thompson's not shooting very well at all. Draymond Green's been off. Curry's been hurt. Yet, you know, they're still – are they just coasting through this, or are they really seriously having some major issues that need to be addressed?
Yeah, that's the thing, like major issues. Like, yeah, there are some issues. And these issues would be major if they were on a different team, taking place on a different team. But I believe they're still in first place in the conference. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, man, you know that, but I guess that just shows you, you know, the overabundance of talent, what that can do. It can cure a lot of the ill situations that you have going on, you know, on the squad. And so, well, look, I definitely think if they take these issues into the postseason, to where you have to be on your A game, especially when you get down to the latter part of that postseason, like they're vulnerable. They will be vulnerable. The good thing is it's December. And we kind of seen how this team has a tendency to kind of just relax, be like, you know, play lackadaisical for the most part, and then in the postseason, like they did last year, they just step it up. So they have the potential to do that, but that's definitely not a trend you want to continue, because a lot of times it can't come back to bite you in the butt.
What kind of an impact will DeMarcus Cousins have on this team?
I don't know. I don't know, George. I think, you know, obviously, I'm just being serious. Like, I don't know. It would change their game a lot. And I'm sorry to pump this again, George, but, you know, I had Kevin Durant on my podcast, and, you know, I asked him that question.
Do not be sorry. Keep plugging, bro.
Well, you know, I asked Kevin Durant that question, and I was like, hey, are things going to have to change when DeMarcus gets here? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah. He was like, we're going to have to slow the game down. I was like, are you guys okay with doing that? That's not your strength. He's like, we better be okay with doing that. When you bring an all-star talent like that, you got to change. And so I found that interesting, because that is going to change a little bit of the dynamic of how the Warriors like to get down, particularly when you're talking about on the offensive end. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's going to mess things up. I don't know if that's going to add another layer of their dominance, where they'll be able to execute to perfection in a fast-paced transition game or in a half-court game where they're slowing it down and trying to pick you apart from within. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it just like everybody else. I want to see if he can mesh with those guys. But, you know, that's a tough question for me to ask. I mean, answer, I'm sorry.
When's his first game? When's he expected to make his debut?
I think it'll be sometime in mid-January. I think he can come back now. But the Warriors, you know, being extra precautious and, you know, want to see a little bit more of him in practice and get his endurance up, you know, which is the right thing to do. But, yeah, I would expect to see him sometime next month.
All right. Chris Haynes, senior writer, NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. A couple more questions, then we'll let you go. What are you hearing? Are the trade winds blowing yet a little bit? I'm sure you've got your phone blows up all the time. Probably have to put it on silent when you go to bed. But any big rumors that you're hearing? I know the Kings were interested in Otto Porter for a little bit. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do. Are they going to make a trade to kind of strengthen their roster? What are you hearing?
Yeah, the Otto Porter thing has died down a little bit.
It's too bad.
The Lakers are still, you know, they're looking. You know, obviously, I think KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's been a name that's been out there for a while, being linked to Houston Rockets, the Philadelphia 76ers. Not sure what the Lakers are looking back in return as of right now. You know, Lakers struck out, man. It was almost like a few weeks ago, it was almost a foregone conclusion. They were nabbing Trevor Ariza. Right now, the trade front, we're talking about big names, not a lot of really big names out there that can be had. You know, Anthony Davis has obviously been the talk of the league the past few weeks, and New Orleans has made it clear that they're not trading them this season. They'll play their hands this summer and see what happens. So I expect things to ramp up a little bit more probably within a week or so, but it's pretty silent right now. And as it pertains to my phone, George, you never, ever, ever take that phone off silent. I don't care what time. You never put it on silent. I don't care what time it is, man. You can get a call 2-3 in the morning. I got to be ready. I got to get it. I can't miss it.
Hey, it wasn't a trick question. I just don't know if your wife gets pissed off. Hey, I have a phone. Like,
she does. She does.
Give a break for the night.
She does. she does. She says it, but that phone is not on silent. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Where are your NBA travels taking you? Like, where are you currently, and where's the next arena you're going to be in?
I'm actually in the Bay right now. I was just out covering the Warriors Trailblazers game last night. You know, I'm gonna stay posted in the Bay for a minute. I'm gonna drive down to Fresno tonight. You know, visit the family.
What?
Deliver some presents and things like that, and probably head to LA out early next week.
Look at you coming to Fresno. See the family. Very important. Paul George,
yeah,
Fresno State, of course, MVP candidate.
For sure. Right now, for sure. He's playing the best ball on that team. OKC is racking up wins by the boatload. He's doing it on both ends of the floor. He's up there. You know, I think my favorite as of right now, you know, I think Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, I think he's a guy. And you know what? I'm not going to give too much. But when you talk about Fresno ties, you might want to start throwing Giannis in there.
I know. I've been trying to get a hold of Pat Riddle-Springer every now and then. Now I know.
Just making sure. You know, Pat, that's my cousin, Pat Riddle-Springer. Those are my cousins right there. Right now he's my favorite, but on the short list, man, you know, Paul George is up there for sure.
Okay. Two more questions and that's it. Right now, you have the first pick. It's open, all players available, their current state. Who would be your player that you would start a franchise with in the league right now, currently? Would it be a 34-year-old LeBron or somebody younger?
Nah, it would be somebody young. I'm going with Giannis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Dang it.
I'm going with Giannis. And just think about it. Like, he's been in the league, what, 5 years maybe? Is it around 5 years?
Yeah.
And he's 24. Just turned 24.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I love his game. I mean, he's just powerful. I think the Bucks have a very good chance of coming out of the East.
Yeah, I mean, if he If he ever develops a jump shot, oh, my goodness. Like, the league will have no answer for him. Like, it would be I just want to see that because I want to see how he would dominate the league. I want to see what those numbers look like in the pace in which the NBA plays right now. You know, so, man, like, that would be my guy. Easy.
That'd be like if Russell Westbrook could develop a three-point shot. Look out. Terrible. Look out.
No, for real. Like, that's – I can't – you know, you think about other guys, Anthony Davis maybe, but, you know, he's injury-prone a lot. That's my guy.
Well, what are the odds that the Pelicans lose Davis completely? Are they making a mistake by not taking calls, at least asking? But for people who – I know the Lakers want him. That's obvious. About the LeBron tampering or whatever, the alleged tampering or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, are the Pelicans making a big mistake here?
Well, I think – I don't think New Orleans – I think any franchise would be doing their organization a disservice if they didn't take the calls. You know, I'm not saying that New Orleans because they're not. They're not – because we would be the first to hear about it if New Orleans were calling teams asking for packages, that can get them AD. That's not happening. But, you know, best believe the teams are checking in and monitoring New Orleans and just throwing out different scenarios. So, you know, New Orleans has to do their due diligence, but
I think they should.
Need to make a move.
Yeah,
New Orleans has to make a move.
Yeah.
Over the deadline. They have
keep,
to. They
keep
have
the phone
to.
Keep yeah, the phone that,
that's almost
open.
That's almost career suicide not to do something like that. So they have to make a move at deadline to try to better their chances of retaining AD. If not, man, it can be a pretty rough summer for them.
And finally, what'd you get for Christmas, man?
That's a good question. Hey, girls, what'd I get for Christmas? I got a surround sound entertainment system. Uh-huh. I got some cologne. What else I get? I'm talking to my oldest daughter here. So yeah.
For the man who has everything, I mean, what did you get?
You know what, George? This the thing about, and you would appreciate this, and I think all adults will appreciate this, and fathers, like, you know, growing up, Christmas was your favorite, you know, holiday coming up. But as you get older, you realize that the presents start diminishing. And after a while, you don't get any. And then it's about, you know, what you getting everybody else. And so I can't remember when it happened, but mm-hmm. along the way of my journey of becoming a man, Thanksgiving became my favorite holiday.
Well, shoot. I wonder why that happened. You just want to make other people happy. That's what Christmas is all about.
Well, I don't know if I want to make everybody happy or that's the way society has it set up. So, you know, I just play along, get them what they want.
Well, there you go. Do you have a man cave?
I do not.
No. So you don't have like a LeBron jersey, a Damian Lillard jersey, no Curry jersey, nothing framed on the wall?
I have some memorabilia, but I don't have a man cave. I don't have it, you know, where it's all stored up somewhere. I got, like, little plaques hung up on, you know, in the hallway of my home. But, no, I need a man cave.
What's the best piece of memorabilia you have? I mean, you started covering the Blazers, and then you go to cover LeBron, and then you get the Warriors. So, really, with all this stuff that you've had, what is the most precious, priceless piece of memorabilia from your career that you own? Something signed, anything?
I have, off the top of my head, I have a pair of D-Wade autographed shoes.
Uh-huh.
I got a pair of Stephen Curry autographed shoes. Mm-hmm. What else?
Nothing from LeBron? Mike, MJ, anything?
No, I mean, I got something him signed, you know, autographed a picture. But, that's not worth anything, you know what I mean? But no, I got that off the top of my head. Those are what I think is probably the most. Probably something if I wanted to sell them, I think I'd probably get the most money for those items.
Because for me, the thing is, it's the photos. Right. I mean, there's a photo of you, I think you put on Twitter, you interviewing LeBron. Those are the kind of things right there that mean a lot to me. I got a photo of myself interviewing, like, Charles Woodson and Jerry Rice. Those kind of things kind of mean more to me because you see you doing the job and you're interviewing the best of the best. How about you? Do you feel the same way?
No, no doubt, no doubt. And at a certain point, I'll get LeBron to autograph. I got a few pictures of me and him talking or something like that. Where somebody, you know, took a flick in action. But no, for sure, those are things that, you know, when your career is done or when you're looking back 10, 15, 20 years back, you know, those are things, moments you can appreciate. Those are definitely good times. So no, my wife has always been on me about stacking up more of those type of moments and, you know, getting them. And I just, you know, I'm just day to day. Like, I'm just in the trenches, like working. I really haven't had a time to sit back and just, you know, sit back and just reflect on, you know, what I've been through. So I definitely got to take some time out to just soak it all in and try to get all the memorabilia I can, I guess.
There you go. Hey, what are the odds that I can get LeBron on the show?
Woo! Man, when's the last time it snowed in Fresno, Jake?
Yeah. It snows up at Shaver Lake, though. That's that close.
It's Shaver Lake. I can't remember when it was, but I remember I was at Manchester Mall. I want to say I was probably 13 or something. So if I'm 13, you're talking, I'm 36 now, so... Mm. You talking 92, maybe 93, 94, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
That's the last time I remember it snowing. So basically what I'm saying is I think we have a better chance of it snowing in Fresno than LeBron coming on, man. Like, he's just a tough guy to get, man. It's nothing personal. He's a tough guy to get.
Got to reach for the stars, man. You know what? I'll take you over him any day of the week, man. I really appreciate
you. Well, I appreciate that, George. I do. I do, man. Even though you're full of it, I appreciate that, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I take him once, but I take you five times. You know, hey, likewise. Hey, Mary, hope you had a great Christmas. Sounds like you did. Happy New Year to you, man. I'm just so proud of you. Safe travels to Fresno, and looking forward to seeing what you got coming up on the future podcast. Thanks a lot, man.
Oh, man, thanks for having me on, man. Valley Sports Pulse alum, man. Don't forget about that, George.
How can I forget, man? That's where you got your start. Make sure you tell your friends. Thanks, bro.
Take care,
appreciate
man.
You. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, way back when I had a website, valleysportspulse.com, and Chris Haynes wrote high school football stories for me, and that's how he got his start. And then he went, took that. I mean, when it comes down to success and your career after you intern with me, he's numero uno. 1A, 1B, and 1C. That's Chris Haynes, senior writer for Yahoo Sports, Fresno native, driving to Fresno now to spend some time with the family. And it's always great to talk to him. And he knows a lot about what's going on the behind-the-scenes stuff with the NBA. He's one of the best in the business. All right, got to take a break. We'll come back. Hey, Cameron Worrell is going to join me in just a little bit. We are in the zone, live from the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN, Nevada's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the zone live from the Fieldhouse. George Takata with you. This show is also brought to you by Reedley College, who I'm very thankful for, where we motivate and inspire students to succeed. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to take off work early, although I'm off this week. I'm still getting used to this whole education thing. In TV, you're never off holidays, man. You're working Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas and all those holidays. It sucked. But I wouldn't have traded it for the world because it got me to read the college, and now taking a week off and getting paid for it is a beautiful thing. I love education. It's awesome. Cameron Worrell verified with me. He will join me to talk about the departures of Jeff Allison and Mike Bell. Boy, oh boy, two big-time players on that Bulldog defense. Going to go fulfill their NFL dreams, hopefully. And we know Jeff's going to be in the draft. He's going to be selected. He's third, fourth rounder, maybe. That's my projection. We'll get Cam's expertise on that. He texted me. He's going to say, you know, he said, hey, you know what? I'm going to be on the show with you. I'm going to be in a movie with my daughters, but I'm going to sneak out and talk to you about it because it's so important to talk about these two guys leaving the program. But I'm very confident, Coach Tedford, Burt Watts, the entire defensive staff, that they've got the guys to replace them. Maybe not of the upper echelon quality of these two guys, but very capable people to fill the shoes, even if they don't fit as well. Maybe a little loose to fit. Because there's some big shoes to fill with Jeff Allison and Mike Bell and, of course, Marcus McMahon, but we all knew that. See what Jorge Reyna can do with the reins. Jorge Reyna taking over the reins, Fresno State football. NFL-wise, when we talked to Scott Kazmaier about it, you know, the Chiefs, if you're the Raiders, who do you want to piss off the most, the Chiefs or the Chargers? The Chargers need the Raiders to beat the Chiefs to win the AFC West. The Chiefs need to beat the Raiders to win the AFC West. So whose day do you want to ruin the most? I don't think the Raiders are going to go into Arrowhead and win anyway. But if they do, then they give basically if the Chargers win and the Chiefs lose, then the Chargers win the West. I tell you what, though, Derek Carr with having not the best quality of options to throw to not have an interception since week 5, and he's had some passes where it should have been picked along the way because the third longest streak of passes not being intercepted, third longest streak in NFL history. Consider who he's throwing to. An older Jordy Nelson, Marcel Aitman, Jared Cook, who should be in the Pro Bowl. He's swinging it out to Jalen Richard. He's handing the ball off to Doug Martin. He had beast mode, but he's got hurt. Martavis Bryant got hurt. Amari Cooper got traded. He's about ready to have his first 4,000-yard season of his career with this group of guys. Where 2 years ago, he led the Raiders to the playoffs. And threw for under 4,000 yards. They had Latavius Murray running the ball really well and Jalen Richard and all these guys too. But he also had Cooper and Crabtree to throw to and Murray out of the backfield is a great pass catcher. Clive Walford, Michael Rivera, all those guys. Now, who's he throwing it to? Jared Cook and other dudes. Like Marcel Aitman, I don't even know he got a pass against the Broncos on Monday night. But for what Derek is doing, and consider the fact that this is like his fourth offensive coordinator in the last 5 years, Greg Olson, Todd Downing, Bill Musgrave, Olson again, Gruden, Sperano, I mean... And he's the problem. The banged up offensive line, two rookie offensive tackles on either side. And he's going to throw, if he needs like 140 yards to go over 4,000 first time in his career, and he hasn't thrown a pick since week 5. John Gruden, you better keep him. You traded everybody else. Keep Derek Carr. I'm convinced all he needs is some consistency with his coaching and who's coaching him. And everything will be perfectly fine. Just leave it alone. Get him some weapons. Get him some help on the defensive side of the ball. Where there's somebody rushing the passer with consistency and effectiveness. Boy, that worked out, huh? The Bears and the Cowboys are going to play for the NFC Championship. Boy, those trades really worked out well. The Cooper thing doesn't really bother me as much as the Mac thing. But just give Derek some weapons and watch it really take off. Next year, if he has, what do they have, Le'Veon Bell? They got the money. He's only 27 and he's rested his body for an entire season. And you have 3 picks and he's a free agent. I'd get him. That's who I'd sign. I tell you what, you know, Marshawn Lynch, He's not going to play in Oakland. He's not going to play for the Raiders. Might as well get Le'Veon Bell, get a receiver in the draft, see who's out there in free agency, and let Derek let it rip. Be 4,500 yards next year. All right. 4 o'clock hour done. Cameron Worrell, Scott Kazmar will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. We are live from the Fieldhouse in the Zone on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Let's hit that sports center, everybody.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in Don? Oh, yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, lift a deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, George Takata.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the storm, man.
Whenever I hear that, I just think of the Oklahoma State head coach. I'm a man. I'm 40. Welcome, everybody, into the Zone Hour number 2, live from the Fieldhouse in Fresno on Copper. I'm George Takata from Reedley College, 16 years sports anchor at CBS 47. That's my credibility to hosting a sports radio show. Cameron Worrell, Scott Kazmar will join us in Hour number 2. Fresno State football's got a couple of vacancies on their defense now with the departures of Jeff Allison and Mike Bell, their early entries. To early entry candidates to the NFL draft, and definitely going to miss the leadership of those two guys. Although I'm assuming that Jeff Tedford knew that these two guys were going to be leaving, or the very good chance that they would be pursuing their NFL dreams a little early. And so, boy, oh boy, when you think of linebackers at Fresno State, could you imagine Ron Cox on the outside and Jeff Allison in the middle? Wow. Those are two of the best right there to play that position in Fresno State history. And you could put Jeff Allison right up there with any of them, really. Clogging that middle, crushing tackles, hard hitter, great player, fantastic leader, has all the intangibles for the next level. All of them. And so, just cannot wait to see what the future holds for him. To talk about those two guys, let's bring in the man who was on the sideline for Fresno State football all season long, for all 14 games. That's right, there were 14 games. My good buddy Cam Worrell. Cam, how you doing, man? What movie are you watching with your kids?
I'm watching you know, the state doesn't come around very often, so I felt like we had to talk about it. It's a big, big day.
Very, very important. So, yes, I really thank you very much for your kids are first, and I'm always second or third behind your family. So I really do appreciate it. So what did these – it's a stupid question. What does the loss of these two guys mean to this defense?
Well, you know – Jeff Allison's production and his leadership. He was the guy. He was the heart and soul of that defense. He's the emotional leader. Mm-hmm. You know, the defense set, getting guys lined up. I mean, he was so much more than just, you know, what stats say and
you know, the impact that he made physically on the game. You know, he, as a leader on that defense, meant a lot. I mean, everybody looked at the way that
Hey, do me a favor. Do me a favor and move to a better spot where you where we can hear you better. So walk so walk somewhere else in the theater so we can hear you.
Yeah.
Let me just say while he's walking around, movie theaters don't provide the best cell phone reception. They really don't. It's like, you know, you're here for the movie, damn it. And I don't care if there's any kind of emergency going on in your life. We're going to make life movie-oriented only. You will not have good reception in theater. There, did that kill enough time?
I actually hit the exit and almost hit the alarm off. You're getting me arrested. You're getting me arrested trying to do a radio interview.
Okay, all really right, quick. I'll ask you again one more time. What movie are you guys watching?
We're watching The Grinch.
Oh.
So
The Grinch, fantastic. All right, so
it's a movie. It's a movie based on I think your life with my daughter Eva. So you're the Grinch to her joy.
She's a Grinch to me. We're not going to get started on all that. We're supposed to Yuletide greetings and love and friendship and happiness, not with how your daughter thinks I'm a jerk for no damn reason whatsoever. Okay, so. Losing Jeffrey Allison, we heard you a little bit. He's the emotional leader. He's obviously leading tackler, or one of the leading tacklers, if not the leading tackler. Just all the intangibles. It's big shoes to fill, isn't it?
Yeah, and for all those reasons that you mentioned, you know, the fact that he's so productive, he's such a sure tackler in the middle of the defense. But you know, it's what he brings emotionally. It's what he brings mentally. It's I think the leadership that he brings every day to help this defense try and reach, you know, a level that I think without him would be difficult. So I think first and foremost, that's what you're going to miss. You know, not just everything that he did production-wise, but just the leader that he is. And I played with Brian Urlacher. I played with Zach Thomas. Those feed off of those guys. They literally, you know, add energy. They add excitement. They add efficiency to your defense. And without those guys, you're just not the same.
Mm-hmm. Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, 132 tackles, clearly leading the team. Where do you think he's projected to go in the draft? Is he a third rounder, fourth rounder, maybe second round? Where do you think he goes?
Yeah, you know, I know he got a grade back from the NFL. I don't know what it is. Mike Bell, same thing. You know, they send paperwork into the NFL to get a grade back to basically say, this is where, you know, our personnel people see you fitting in. This is where we think the lowest place in the draft you would go. This is potentially where you could go. And Jeff Allison obviously got something back. You know, both of them did, but, you know, Jeff got something back that he was confident in leaving. I think, you know, obviously it depends on how he runs and how he works out when he gets these one-on-one opportunities with NFL teams. But if he runs well, I think the lowest he'll go is in the third round. You know, I think he's so productive. He really improved on, you know, his cover skills this year, his ability to go sideline to sideline, his ability to make tackles in space and close the distance with a lot of space on, you know, regardless if it was a running back or receiver, you know, tackle very skilled athletes in space. I think that's the one thing he didn't do last year that he really improved on. He worked on losing some weight. And you saw that when he was on the field. You know, the only thing that may limit him a little bit, he's a little bit on the short side, probably 6 foot, you know, but at 235, if he runs well, he fits right in with a lot of the linebackers that you see coming out of college. So, you know, I don't know if he'll be a first-round guy just because he is a little bit on the shorter side. But second, third round, you know, it would shock me if he fell past the third round.
And where would you rank him in regards to all the linebackers in Fresno State history? I know, could you picture him in the middle and Ron Cox on the outside? Oh, my God.
I mean, I he's the best middle linebacker that has ever played in Fresno State, and there's been a lot of good ones. I mean, Ben Jacobs, you know, going into his 10th season in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. You know, Brad Bell, Brad Bell, who still, you know, is around the program. There are a lot of guys, Tim Skipper, a lot of guys who played a lot of really good football at that position, but nobody has impacted the game more than Jeff Allison. Nobody has added as much physicality to that position as Jeff Allison has, and that's not a knock on those guys, but, you know, I said it on Twitter today, when Jeff Allison hits people, it sounds different. It sounds different from every other college player that is out there. You know, even if you don't see him make a tackle, that Jeff Allison is the one making the tackle just by the way he hits people. And we saw game after game him make contact with a running back, with a quarterback early, and that player not be the same just because of the impact that he brought to those collisions. And, you know, that type of stuff just, it doesn't exist. It's never existed here. That's why I think, you know, if he and Ron Cox are playing together, that's a ridiculous linebacking core. But I don't think anybody has played in the middle of a Fresno State defense at that linebacker position and had more of an impact than Jeff Allison did.
Well, if you're going to wear the number of someone who's retired, whose jersey is retired, you better be damn good. And Jeff Allison lived up to that and then some. I'm sure Kevin Sweeney very proud to see that number 9 on the field flying around. All right, now Mike Bell, he followed about 20 minutes later. 86 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 3 picks, 8 pass breakups, second team All-Mountain West. He's a great safety. He's leaving early. Obviously got a good grade back from the NFL. What does his departure mean for this Bulldog team?
Yeah, he was one of the more physical pieces of that defense just because he's so big. You know, 6'3", 215 pounds, and can really run. And when you add speed and size, that creates force. And you saw that a lot with, you know, the type of impact he made when he made tackles, similar to Jeff Allison. But he's really a, you know, a guy that had so much length, that had so much range. He really affected the way that offense could attack that defense when he was in the middle of the field. You know, he could cover so much ground that it really limits your ability to attack that defense, you know, in the post, hash to hash, number to number. So Fresno State's going to have to find somebody to replace that. And you know, 6'3", 250-pound safety, they don't grow on trees. That's why Mike Bell is leaving, because, you know, he's a size, speed specimen. And in the NFL, if you're 6'3", 215, and you have the skill set that Mike Bell does, you are in very, very high demand because, you know, the game is played with long receivers. It's played with 6'6 tight ends. If you have a guy at the safety spot who is 6'3 and can cover and can be a physical force in the run game, you're talking about a guy that can go very high in the NFL draft if he runs well. He's a guy that can immediately step on the field, you know, as a 14 special teams guy, kickoff return, punt return. He excelled in that this year, even as a starter in the secondary. So he's a guy that will be on the field the moment he steps on an NFL practice field. And you can be pretty confident that as he develops, he can add more to his plate as far as responsibility. You know, the one thing you question with him, and this is high-level question, this isn't, you know, you question that he can do this, but it's, can he cover in the slot, you know, guys who are smaller, quicker, can change direction very well. That's kind of the one question that I see with him. He's so long, it's really difficult for him to stop and go like those really small, you know, Julian Edelman-type receivers. If you can add that piece to his game, you're talking about a guy that literally the sky's the limit with him. He can cover. He's ranging in the middle of the field. He's an excellent tackler in the box. If you can add that ability to be a slot defender against slot receivers, you're talking about a guy with a Pro Bowl skill set. And that's why I think, you know, you saw Mike Bell get the grade he got and is ready to take his talents to the NFL.
So if he tests well at Pro Day or at the Combine, if he's has a great 40 time, where do you see him going in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy that can, you know, he can slip into the second round very easily. If he runs well, if he moves well, which, you know, I've watched him for a couple of years, he moves extremely well, even for a long guy, plays with good hip level, you know, is able to change direction. I think he has good top-end speed. I don't think that'll be an issue. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Obi Melon Fonwu, who the Raiders took in the second round a few years ago. He's a big
garbage pick.
And I say that only because he was a, you know, he was a size, speed, you know, pick. That's why they drafted him so high. And I'm not defending the Raiders picking him in the second round, but that's what Mike Bell can do. He can go, he can show up, he can test really well. His film backs up everything that you see, and because he does have that rare size, speed, you know, physical makeup, so those are guys that pop into the second round, and not a lot of people may know about them, but guys do that every year, and he's the type of guy that does. I don't think Mike Bell, you know, falls probably past the fifth round of the draft. That's worst case scenario, I think, for him. But if he runs 4.4, if he jumps out of the gym, which I think he will, you know, if he can put on maybe 5 pounds and just fill his frame out a little bit, he's still a little bit slender. If he can go into pro day with that, then I think it wouldn't shock me at all if Mike Bell actually gets drafted before Jeff Allison, just because of that size, just because of that size, speed, you know, physical makeup that he brings that is very, very rare in the NFL.
Last thought, who's in line? Who's the next man up at Fresno State to replace these two guys?
Well, when you look at Jeff Allison, you know, I think Justin Rice, who, you know, he's been in the program for 2 years. He's been a middle linebacker for 2 years. When Jeff Teflon and his staff came over, they switched him over from running back. And he's a guy who can run. He's physical. You know, he really wins at the point of attack. I think he gets the first crack at the middle linebacker spot. Aaron Mosby, you know, will replace James Bailey, and I think Sherwin King, the Sunnyside linebacker, will step in for George Helmuth. So Jeff Allison's a huge loss, but Justin Rice is an intelligent guy. You know, he'll be able to bring some of that, you know, some of the mental aspects that Jeff Allison brought to this defense. He'll be able to bring that as far as making the calls, getting guys lined up, and I think we'll have a couple of young but very talented linebackers lined up next to him. And at the safety spot, you know, a bit more of an unknown. I think Waylon Free and Chris Gaston, two guys who came here as cornerbacks, will probably get the first crack to replace Mike Bell. Juju Hughes is a staple in that secondary. Jaren Bryant is another staple. You know that they're going to be entrenched in their position. But I think those two, Waylon Free and Chris Gaston, two guys who can run, who are a little bit slim, but very versatile in the way they can cover in the slot, the way that they can use different coverage combinations with Juju Hughes and Aaron Mosby as kind of a nickel linebacker. Those are the guys that I think will get the first shot. Devin Jarvis, a true freshman safety coming from Bishop Vermont, who chose Fresno State over Boise State. He's another guy that, you know, exactly. He looks ready to go right now. He's about 195 pounds, very physical. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets an early look as well, but I think you have to think of Waylon Free and Chris Gaston as probably the two guys to get the first crack at that Mike Bell safety spot.
Any sympathy for Boise State at all for not only playing half of a quarter of their bowl game?
Yeah, that sucks, man. I you know.
Okay, you do have a little sympathy.
Yeah, I hate Boise as much as anybody, but you know, I really feel for the seniors who were on that field. I remember the Silicon Valley Bowl I played in 2002, where we beat Georgia Tech. One of the, you know, best football memories I have. And for guys to go down and be in Dallas on Christmas Day, play a game the day after, and get it shut down after half a quarter, you really feel bad for those guys. Brett Rippon is such a great quarterback, and he deserved to go out, you know, on a better note than he did. So, yeah, I do have some sympathy for those guys. I feel bad for those seniors if that was their last opportunity to play for Boise State, and they got about 7 minutes of game action. So, yeah. It's unfortunate. But, you know, I think they took the health and well-being of everybody in that stadium into account. But you got to feel bad for those guys.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, appreciate it, as always. Do you are you on Bulldog Insider this weekend?
No Bulldog Insider. I'm retiring from Bulldog Insider until next football season. So, you know, I'll make a few appearances, maybe signing day or something in February. If there's some big football news, maybe I'll make some appearances, but I'm not scheduled at this point in time to show up on Sunday.
Do you have any idea what Andrew Martin is doing right now?
I'm having a drink at the Fieldhouse.
Because I'm going to tell you, Andrew Martin, crazy. Talk to him last. You can talk to him about this next time you're on the Bulldog Insider. I called him last night. I said, hey, what are you doing this weekend? He said, well, actually, I have a 5:15 flight out of here to go to Orlando. He's at the Camping World Bowl watching Syracuse beat West Virginia right now, and he's coming back home tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, I hope he makes the flight because that Orlando airport is the worst. in America if you don't have TSA PreCheck. $85 for 5 years. Dude, if you go to Orlando, get PreCheck. I promise you will not regret it.
you gotta love the he's in that sea of orange there somewhere. You gotta love the
Are they winning? Hopefully they're winning.
Yeah, they're winning 27-18, but I thought this dude was crazy to do that.
Yeah.
Orlando and back in 48 hours. Crazy.
I mean, that's nuts, but you know Andrew, he's crazy. You know, he'll do crazy stuff like that. He'll cover a game in San Diego, drive home all night, do Hold Dog Insider on Sunday. That's how he is. He's crazy. Spontaneous and crazy.
He's got no choice. The boss is saying, you better get your butt back over here.
Well, hopefully he has a good time.
I hope so, too. Well,
and I'm glad they're winning.
He's going to get a win. Hey, Happy New Year to you, Cam. I appreciate you. And thanks to Ari and not Ava for letting me share you today. Appreciate it.
For sure. I'll let them know that for sure. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, man. Always fun to come on and talk with you.
All right. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. Cameron Royal, ladies and gentlemen. And, yes, Andrew Martin flew to Orlando this morning. He's there for the Camping World Bowl now. 12:55 left to go in the fourth. Syracuse up on West Virginia, 27-18. Andrew graduated from Syracuse, and he will fly back home and be in Fresno by tomorrow afternoon. Guy's crazy. All right, Scott Kazmaier will join us, talk a little NFL. We got to hit the break first. We are live from the Fieldhouse in Fresno on Copper. Coming out and join us on this wonderful Friday night on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Kazmaier will join us in just a little bit, talk all things NFL. He's been on the program before when I have hosted shows previously, and so he does a great job of covering NFL for Football Outsiders. He's the assistant editor. Before we hit the break, we talked about how Andrew Martin flew to Orlando today to get to the Camping World Bowl to watch his alma mater, Syracuse, take on West Virginia, and how he's coming home, like, pretty much after the game. Which led me to think, what's the craziest thing you've ever done to get to a sporting event to watch your favorite team? Cam Worrell wanted to see the Giants sweep the Tigers in the World Series. And so he flew to Detroit with his wife to watch Game 4 at Comerica Park and then drove back to his brother's house overnight to catch the plane to come home. That is some that was a sweep, wasn't it? Giants Tigers, a 4-0 sweep. And so he just told me, he's like, dude, we're going. If the Giants win Game 3, we're going to be there at Game 4. And sure enough, that's crazy. Andrew's going to be back tomorrow. He left today. This is to go to Orlando to watch something called the Camping World Bowl. Two teams ranked. Syracuse is 20th, West Virginia 16th. That's great and everything. But to go across the country, if Fresno State was playing in the Camping World Bowl, would you do the same thing? I think I was going to have Andrew on, but he just texted me, my phone's at 2%. There's no way in the world I'm going to get that guy on right at 2%. Look, before you go to a game, always have your phone completely charged. Because you're going to want to take pictures, videos, and all that social media stuff. He's a 2%. Shame on him. I can't really think of something Fresno State related, but I did it via work. Like, I flew to New York, covered the NIT, went to the College World Series, flew there. Well, covered the championship game against Georgia, hung out at the hotel, had a lot to celebrate that night, and so we did a lot of celebrating, and then caught the early flight back to Fresno with a few stops mixed in to work and cover the parade the very next day. That was nuts. I was on the clock, but that was something crazy in regards to going above and beyond for your teams. But what Cam did going to Detroit to watch Game 4 and what Andrew's doing right now watching the Camping World Bowl without going to Disney World and have no time to do anything else. It's crazy because he's got to come back and do the Bulldog Insider. How's that for dedication? Gotta love it. Oh, Syracuse almost scored. Actually, it's 34-18 now, so if Andrew was at 10% with his phone, I would have called him. Definitely would have called him. Talked about the atmosphere. He said the crowd's loud, so much orange. It's good. Actually, a bowl game that has people there, unlike the Cheez-It Bowl and the First Responders Bowl. When you got a bowl game with two ranked teams, it's a good game. When you got two teams in a bowl game that have 6 and 7 wins, it's not a good game. Okay, sorry, Cal. Sorry, TCU. And that's why you get 9 interceptions in a 10-7 game that went to overtime. That's a bad bowl. That will be the worst bowl game of the season, right there. That's it might be the worst bowl game of the century, to be honest. When they rank, they do all this stupid rankings at the end of the year, rank all the bowl games from best to worst. That one right there will be, if there are like 40 bowl games, that's number checking in at number 40 on the list. That was just miserable. But it helped me catch up on my sleep. I will want to thank Cal and TCU for helping me catch up on my sleep by getting a half an hour in here and there. And that triple option pass that TCU did was absolutely the worst play I've ever seen. It's terrible, terrible stuff. But as I said, Tim DeRuiter's guys know how to pick off the ball. All right, let's hit the break. Fieldhouse, we've got the food and drink here. Come on out and say hi. Scott Kazmar will join me to talk all things NFL from Football Outsiders, the assistant editor, good friend of the program. Good, looking forward to talking to him on the flip side of the break on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It gives me great, great pleasure to bring back, not on this program, but on previous shows that I have done. I've had Scott Kazmar on from Football Outsiders. He's the assistant editor, and it's always great to talk to him. Brings the knowledge all the time. Hey, Scott, happy holidays to you. It's great talking to you again. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really good. Looking forward to this final week of the NFL season. Start with this Raiders-Chiefs battle here. I mean, the Raiders obviously playing for pride, but the Chiefs need to beat them to win the West. The Chargers are hoping that are becoming Raiders fans as well this weekend. How do you see everything playing out? Do you think the Chiefs can go ahead and take care of business here and win the division?
Yeah, I think they'll stay in at the 1-5 seeds, those AFC West teams. I think, I really think it'd be the upset of the year if Oakland went to Arrowhead and won that game. I think Mahomes, he'll get to 50 touchdown passes and maybe even higher. I think they'll get it done on that side of the ball. And again, it just comes down to, can you trust this defense? Still gave up 33 points to Oakland last time they played them. So I think they'll rebound from the Seattle game. But, definitely some question marks going into the playoffs.
Now, do you trust this defense in the playoffs? Of course, the Patriots, the Texans, the Chiefs can score the best one, the best scoring team in the league practically. But when it comes down to the playoffs, it's defense that wins championships. Do they have enough defense to win the AFC?
I don't really trust them too much. I think, one thing, if Pittsburgh doesn't get in, which looks like the case, I think that really helps, just because I think the Steelers are a team that, has had success against Kansas City. Obviously they can't score. So I think them not making it could be a big advantage. And then, the Chargers, they'll have a tough matchup if they have to play Baltimore. Another 5-4 rematch. So, maybe Baltimore is a team that could go in there. We've seen them push the Chiefs to overtime. Wouldn't they even got that far without a fourth down miracle play from Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. So, I think they're going to maybe avoid a lot of shootouts, which is good for them. But, obviously Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck, people like that, they can get hot on any given
Sunday. So, I mean, they could put up points on the Chiefs, but, you know, it doesn't look like they're maybe going to run into as many shootouts as possible.
If it comes down to, like, a Patriots at Chiefs scenario down the road in the postseason, who would you take?
Yeah, I think that's huge that they're going to have a home field in that one. I think if they had to go to New England again, it's always such a tough place to play. You can't fall behind, can't turn the ball over. But, you know, I think if they play that game and it's like an AFC championship game, meaning they won a home game, because, again, Arrowhead, they just seem to always have something crazy happen there in January. They lose every game. So if they've already won one, Tom Brady, if he doesn't have a bye week, you know, they have old players on that offense. You know, Edelman, Gronk don't look the same. You know, I think having a bye week is going to really help that team if they get to play Houston in like a 2-3 matchup. But, you know, if Brady doesn't have that bye week going into an AFC championship, I think that's a game where, you know, Justin Houston, D4, they could maybe beat up on him a little bit. But, yeah, I think I would pick the Chiefs if it got that far in the AFC championship game.
Scott Kazmar is our guest, Football Outsiders. On the NFC side of the ball, still a playoff spot up in the air. The Vikings and the Eagles are fighting for that. Seahawks are in. It's just Nick Foles to the rescue once again here. I mean, are the Eagles in kind of a little situation now? It's the second year in a row that Foles is coming in and basically saving the day for this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. He really plays well in Doug Peterson's offense. They score a lot more points. They beat good teams. They win high-scoring games. And, you know, those are things that they just don't really do under Carson Wentz. And, you know, he's doing it again. I think they win this week. I think they'll put the pressure on the Vikings to win. And really, if I'm Chicago, I kind of look at it as I might be better off just kind of half-assing it against the Vikings and letting the Vikings win and then taking on the Vikings next week in Chicago for the third matchup. And, you know, obviously they match up pretty well with the Vikings. I think they can handle that game. So, you know, I would prefer to probably not let the Eagles into the tournament just because, you know, they have the experience of players like, you know, win a Super Bowl with a coach last year. They, you know, could go on that kind of run. So I would try to just eliminate them from even having that opportunity and just not take my chances with the Vikings. Because I don't think the 2 seed's really that much in play for Chicago, because I think the Rams will take care of business on Sunday.
This is why fantasy football leagues don't play the last week of the year. Just because of what you said, half-assing it. Nope, we're going to get this done in week 16, week 17. There is no fantasy football. Exactly. Well, there are a lot of Cowboy fans here, Scott, believe it or not. And what has Amari Cooper meant to Dak Prescott and that entire team? Their defense was already solid. They had Zeke. Was Amari Cooper the last piece that they needed to at least maybe win a playoff game or get to at least to the championship round?
I mean, yeah, he's turned in some huge games for them, in division games too, against Washington, Philadelphia in overtime. So, and he's come up with some huge games, and he's always done that in Oakland, but then he has like the games where he just disappears and doesn't really put up much. So, you know, it was definitely a big risk, a first round pick, but, you know, they made the playoffs. That was their goal. And it's not going to be a super high draft pick now, so that's good. But, yeah, I think they're in a tough spot when you're talking about the 4 seed, because I think, you know, playing Seattle. I think if there's a team that could go on the road and have a run, we haven't really seen that the last few years. It's been all, like, Championship Sunday's been all, like, number 1 versus number 2 seeds mostly for the last, you know, 5 years or so. So if there's, like, a wild card team that can actually go on a run, I think it'd be Seattle, just because I think Russell Wilson is really playing as well as any NFC quarterback in the last month or so. So, you know, you could see them winning that game, and then they'd have to go to, say, New Orleans probably. And that's always going to be a tough place for anyone to play. But, yeah, I think Seattle's a team that could give a lot of teams a scare on the road.
How about the Rams? How deep do you think they could get? They could obviously win the whole thing or at least be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. How impressed have you been with them and their resurgence? And, you know, do you think that they're just going to run into the Saints along the way for this championship, or can the Bears or somebody else kind of throw a wrench into those plans?
Yeah, I used to think it was like a two-team race, Rams versus Saints, but, you know, the Rams haven't really played that great the last month, and, you know, they had some iffy games early in the season. They only beat the Packers by like 2 points. They only beat the Seahawks by a couple of points. The Denver game was a little closer than it should have been, so they've been a little disappointing on defense, I think, you know, Wade Phillips' defenses tend to be really strong his first year, and then they kind of regressed the next season. So, I mean, the offense was really good, and then Jared Goff just had this real struggle period again last month. Todd Gurley's a little banged up right now. So I would be very concerned about that team in a first-round matchup with the Bears potentially, and we've seen how that went down on Sunday night a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I would be definitely nervous about that team. But if they can't get right with the bye week, if they get it and then get a game in hand in the playoffs, Sean McVay's first playoff win, then, yeah, if they get in New Orleans, obviously seen them score 35 points in that building, a lot of points when they were behind. They tied the game, then the Saints scored the last 10. So I think, you know, they have the talent to score with the Saints. But, you know, I think the Cooper Kupp injury is an underrated injury this year that really takes away from what they like to do with him in the slot.
That is a big blow. And with Gurley being out, they're just resting him, and they pluck C.J. Anderson out from the waiver wire, and he runs for 100 yards. I mean, it's just been the type of year it's been for the Rams. Scott Kazmaier, Football Outsiders, is our guest. A couple more questions, and we'll let you go. In your Twitter feed, you have Patrick Mahomes as the league MVP. I agree. What about Defensive Player of the Year? Who do you like for that?
Yeah, I think Aaron Donald. I mean, you talk about the Rams' defense, disappointing. If they didn't have him, you know, it would definitely be worse. So many sacks and pressures and hits on the quarterback from him.
It says here on your Twitter you're a film buff and a future screenwriter. So what's the best sports movie you've ever seen?
Oh, that's a good one. Best sports because, like, you know, we like football, obviously, but yeah, the football movies haven't been as good, I don't think. Yeah, I think baseball movies tend to be better, or boxing movies. I mean, if you went with, like, Raging Bull, so.
Creed 2, did you watch Creed 2?
I have not seen Creed 2. I've seen the first one. That was pretty decent.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, give us your, before we let you, give us your Super Bowl pick early on here, you know, barring any injuries. Who would you like to see in the Super Bowl? Would you like to see a Chiefs-Rams rematch, since that was a great defensive struggle, or something completely different?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen a lot of the top teams meet up this year already. So, you know, I know it's kind of boring, and it is another number one versus number one, but, you know, I think Chiefs versus Saints, that would be definitely an entertaining Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. He's Scott Kazmaier from Football Outsiders. He's the assistant editor on Twitter. It's FO_ScottKazmaier, KACSMAR. Hey, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you again, Scott. Happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Scott Kazmaier joining me. He likes the battles of the number one seeds. I'll let you know what I think about that when we return. We are live from the Fieldhouse, wrapping things up here at the Fieldhouse in the Zone on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture. Here are George Takata and Nick Anderson.
Hey, wrapping things up here at the Fieldhouse. If you want to watch some sports tonight, the Clovis Elks Holiday Classic at Clovis High going on all day, all night. They got games going on as we speak. Clovis East 10-2 in the semifinal round. They are taking on El Capitan of Merced. That is at 7:30 at Clovis High in the main gym, Clovis Elks. Holiday Classic wraps up actually tomorrow at Clovis High, where a collision course between Dublin High, a very, very good high school basketball team from Northern California. It seems to be a collision course between Dublin and Clovis East, which will be a tremendous game tomorrow. Tomorrow's championship game, I think, is at 6:30. 6 or 6:30. I get there at 6 just in case. But tonight, 7:30, Clovis East. Ranked pretty high on the PAG meter boys basketball rankings. They are now 10-2. Adrian Wiggins and his staff doing a great job with them as they take on El Capitan tonight. Well, you heard Scott Kazmaier. Would love to see him. You know, it's kind of like a little boring to pick the two number one seeds, Chiefs Saints. And so I won't do that. I think this is the year Andy Reid can win a Super Bowl. He's been there. I think he was there with the Eagles. and fell short with Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens playing on that broken leg. It's a tremendous effort. I'm going to go Chiefs-Bears. I just think that the Bears defense, look, they were on my fantasy team. And by the way, I'm curious, George is a fantasy football champion. And I had the Bears defense because someone in our league whose name will be not made public, it rhymes with phallics, he decides to drop the Bears defense. It's just the best, number one defense in all fantasy football. I plucked them up, picked them up midway, and off I went. Thanks, Jalex. Appreciate it, Ralex. And I beat him in the first round of the playoffs. Thank you, Talix. I think the Chiefs play the Bears in the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs actually win it 28-21. That's my early Super Bowl prediction. I just want to see, I would love to see, as a Raider fan, this is bad to say, but I would love to see Cowboys-Bears in the NFC Championship game. Oh, we're going to trade you here because we don't think you'll have a high pick. Great move. Great idea. It's all backfired. And the Raiders beating Denver on Monday night, they've assured themselves of not having the number one pick in a draft. And look, you don't want to lose your last game in Oakland. You do not want to do that. And so kudos for the Raiders to get it done there, if that was indeed the last game of the Oakland Coliseum, to leave it with a win. I'm a little upset at myself. I had tickets. I sold the tickets. I'm kind of regretting that unless the Raiders play in Oakland next year. I won't feel as bad. I don't know. But yes, Chiefs, Bears, Super Bowl 53, February 3rd, 2019. By the way, the Super Bowl is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta this year. Atlanta, Georgia. That's where the Chiefs will beat the Bears 28-21. And then they'll meet in a rematch next year because the AFC West plays the NFC North next year, which means the Bears are at the Raiders next year. That's kind of why, really, I would love to see the Raiders still in Oakland next year, just to have Khalil Mack sack Derek Carr about five times. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd love to see that. Right. He wouldn't hit him hard. No way he wouldn't hit him hard. But they are going to play each other next year, regardless of where the Raiders are going to be. So, can you imagine? Khalil Mack against Colton Miller? Oh, God. Oh, God. He's going to do that little one-arm shove move to get the lineman on the ground. Yikes. Hey, real quick, we'll plug for Bulldog men's basketball. They got a game tomorrow at 4. They are 9-2. They are a very, very good basketball team. Go on out and support the men's basketball team and all of the Fresno State sports for that matter. But for the immediate future, men's hoops plays tomorrow afternoon at 4 against Utah Valley University. Bulldogs coming off a 40-point win against Tennessee Martin. This is the last non-conference game on the docket. Conference play gets going for the Bulldogs January 2nd at San Jose State. And looking ahead, January 12th, that's a Saturday, against 6th-ranked Nevada at the Save Mart Center. I'm already going to say, sell the place out. Go to that game. The 6th-ranked team in the nation plays in our conference. And what better way? I hope they're undefeated by the time they come to Fresno. We can put that first loss on them. How's that sound? Nevada is for real. They are a national championship contender, and they're from the Mountain West. And Fresno State got two cracks at them, maybe three if they get to play them in the championship of the conference in March. First things first, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Utah Valley University. They are the Wolverines, I think. Yes, they are the Wolverines. Man, they're playing good ball. Women's team is 6-4, having a pretty good year as well. They play tomorrow as well, 2 o'clock before the men against Fresno Pacific. So great opportunity to catch the men and the women on the same day at the Save Mart Center. Women at 2, Fresno Pacific. Men at 4, Utah Valley. There, just took care of your... And then Clovis Elks Championship, Clovis High. Took care of your Saturday for you, everybody. There you go. Next week, we'll have Paul Loeffler on to talk about this Bulldog men's basketball team and how far he thinks they can go and whether or not they could beat Nevada. I think they can. You get enough cracks at them, I think they can get it done. Syracuse beats West Virginia in that Camping World Bowl 34-18. So Andrew Martin's coming home a happy man. Hey, thanks to our guests, Chris Haynes, Cameron Worrell, Scott Kazmar. Appreciate their time. That's the last show we'll have of 2018. I really appreciate you listening and coming into the Fieldhouse and supporting this program. We'll do it again next year, starting next Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Come out to the Fieldhouse. The food and drink, they're open late tonight. Support your local businesses. Have a great sports weekend on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Good night, everybody.